We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Do whatever needs to be done in the hearts and lives today. And we just pray that as we are here this morning, that you will speak to us and through us the words that you want those who are out there to hear today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title this morning. Jesus and nothing else.
Jesus and nothing else, yes. We'll be looking at that a little bit as we go on. We've probably all seen those infomercials that come on TV. You know, those that come on late night TV. If you happen to be up late, I don't watch late night TV. But, you know, they'll come on late night TV or they'll come on one of the 100 or more bizarre channels that your cable or internet provider gives you as you scroll through the channels. You know, one of the things that all the satellite providers, the cable providers and what have you say is, hey, you know, you get 500 channels if you go through with us, and 450 of them are channels you'll never watch. Yes. But anyhow, you know, we've seen those infomercials on all these different channels, and they're offering the latest gadget that will make your life easier. At least that's what they proclaim, you know. Your life will be easier if you get this. Your body will be more beautiful. Those cold winter nights will be warmer. The hot summer will be cooler. We've all heard the script from time to time. And then they'll go, and you'll get all of this for $19.95 or $29.95, or you can have it all for three easy payments of $39.95. But wait! If you order in the next 15 minutes, you get this flashy-dashy doodad that will clip your toenails, polish your fingernails, and not only that, it'll brush your hair for you. That's a $24.95 value, absolutely free. Don't wait. Time's running out. Make sure that you call now. Call 1-800-YOU-ARE-A-SUCKER right now, or go online to worthlessgadgets.com, and it can all be yours for this one low price. We've all heard that, haven't we? Mm-hmm. Well, these advertisers are selling their wares, hoping that you'll fall for whatever it is that they're hawking, and that you'll buy it because you really think that this thing is going to help you. And what you wind up is getting another item that you probably don't need. And in the end, it's most likely going to wind up with two items that you'll never use. And you'll put them in a garage sale 4 or 5 years down the road, hoping that you can get some of your money back and that some unsuspecting sucker will buy them from you. You know, that's what really usually happens on those. Well, we all have probably fallen victim to buying items we don't need. Well, Paul, in writing to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 3, reminds the Philippians that Jesus is all you need and nothing else. And he's combating the Judaizers here. And so he's saying, you don't need the Jewish circumcision. You don't need Jesus and the Jewish circumcision. You don't need Jesus and all the rules and the regulations of the Jewish law. You can't order Jesus over the phone or online and receive a free signed Bible in the mail. You don't need any of this. And what Paul wants us to understand is that preaching Jesus plus something else refutes what Jesus did for us on the cross. If you can earn your way into heaven, then Jesus died in vain. Why did he die in the first place? You know, there's no reason for his death. If you can gain eternal life by your own actions, then the resurrection has no value. He died in vain. He rose in vain. And Paul makes it explicitly clear to the Philippians and to us as well that religion cannot save you. Only Jesus can save you. And so we need to not fall for these infomercials that are being put out there by people. You need Jesus in this. You need Jesus. If you have Jesus and you give $100 a week to the church, or Jesus in this, you know, it's Jesus that we need to make sure that people understand. Now, we understand there's a lot to living out the Christian life beyond that, but first of all, we need Jesus. We have to have that. And so we need to look at that this morning, and we're going to look at Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11 here, and what Paul's writing to the church there at Philippi. It says, "Furthermore, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It's no trouble for me to watch the same or to write the same things to you again, and it's a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are of the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews in regard to the law, a Pharisee, and as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participate in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. So Paul is writing here, and he's giving us reasons for why Jesus is all we need. And he's pointing out to us the importance of Jesus being first and foremost in our life. And we need to be reminded that only Jesus can save. And that's basically what he's saying in verse 1 here. Only Jesus can save. He repeats the theme of Philippians, which the whole theme of Philippians basically is rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in what God has done for you. And this transitional statement that he's making here again points to the fact that joy comes from God and not from what the Philippians do. It doesn't come based upon, you know, you fed so many people today, you witnessed to so many people today. Feeding people is important if they need to be fed. Witnessing to people is important, but we need to be reminded that we don't rejoice in what we do, we rejoice in what God's done. And we rejoice in the fact that we are able to trust in Jesus and that he's the one who provides for us eternal life. And Paul goes on and he says, you know, it's not a problem to write to you again. And apparently from this statement, we assume that Paul has written a previous letter somewhere along the line that we don't have access to. It may have just been a short letter, but we don't have access to it. It was lost somewhere along the way. But from what Paul is saying here, this letter is written up as a follow-up to them to remind them that Jesus is really all they need. Hey, quit listening to these other people. Remember, Jesus is all you need. And one of the things we need to remember is that God's word, the Bible, from the very beginning to the very end, points to Jesus. Jesus is a central figure. I mean, yes, God the Father. But the Bible is pointing from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 21:22. Never remember right off the top of my head. It's about Jesus. The Old Testament's always pointing to Jesus coming. The New Testament is pointing back to what Jesus has done. And so we have to keep that in our mind. And it's only Jesus who can save. It's not Jesus and. It's not Jesus with this. It's Jesus. He is the subject. Song's been out just a little while called Jesus Can, and I just read part of the lyrics here because it's really a powerful song. Who turns a broken dream into a life redeemed? Who can turn your worst defeat into your victory? Who saw me where I was and led me to where I stand? My life is living proof. Only Jesus can. Only Jesus can save me. Only Jesus can change me. Only Jesus can take me and from lost to found. Hallelujah, I'm singing. There's no stealing my freedom. He picked up all the pieces. Look at me now. And this is important that we understand that. It's Jesus who does all of this in our lives. And so we need to keep that in mind. We need to be reminded and remind ourselves daily that only Jesus can save us. There's no one else that can do that. Only Jesus can save us. And if Jesus is the only one who can save us, then we need to be aware of those religious dogs that Paul talks about in verses 2 and 3. And it's interesting here, you know, people calls or Paul calls religious dog people. I don't get my tongue entangled and my mind straightened out. Paul calls religious people dogs. And we think of dogs as pets and companions. You know, I've got a husky, and he's about as lazy as they come. And this morning, as I was getting ready to head out the door, he laid there and he rolled his eyes up to look at me. And the only thing that moved on him was his tail. He was wagging his tail and giving me that pet me before you leave look. You know, we think of them as companions. And so in our world, we're saying it's a dog's life. We're saying it's an easy life. It's a life, you know, don't no worries. Everybody takes care of you. But that wasn't true in Paul's day. And to call someone a dog was really an insult. And individuals did keep dogs back then, but we have to understand that they don't have dog catchers like we do, animal control officers. There were many stray dogs running the street, and they were causing a lot of problems. And the those dogs caused disruption and disease. They would attack animals. And it was these kind of dogs that Paul was referring to. He says, watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. And so let's consider a few similarities of dogs and religious people. First of all, dogs and religious people run in packs. They join together to accomplish their purpose. It was a little over a year ago that there was a pack of three dogs in our neighborhood, and one morning early, I just rolled out of bed, and I heard them barking and carrying on across the street. I walked out, and I saw that they had cornered our neighbor's kitten, and were mauling it, and they'd only gotten this kitten a few days before, so I walked over, and I tried to stop them, and one of them turned on me, and fortunately there was a stick around, and I beat him and the other two off. The kitten unfortunately didn't make it. Aww. But these three were running in packs, you know, and that's kind of what Paul's alluring to here. He's saying religious people attack and bite those who are not like them. Those dogs had no reason to attack that kitten. Kitten was minding its own business, but they weren't like them. They wanted to have some fun. And they religious people will harass others and tell them you have to give this up to be saved. They tell you that you have to act exactly like they do or they will be left out. Now, let's be honest. When we come to Christ, He's going to convict us of those things that need to change in our life. Mm-hmm. We know that. But we have a tendency of putting people down, and it's the Holy Spirit who does the convicting in our life. He may use other people from time to time, and does, but we have to be careful that, you know, we're not saying, be like me. Mm. We're saying, be like Christ. Yes. Follow Christ's example and not us. And that's the way that religious people are. They want to mutilate and kill us. They want to, if you don't join my pack, we're going to get rid of you. It's that simple. And when we start trying to tell people to cut things out of their lives, instead of the Holy Spirit working in their lives to cut things out, then we are telling them to put their faith in what we say and not what God says. Mm. But when we point out to them that God says this, that's a different story, as long as we do it in love. Mm-hmm. You can say, hey, man, God says do this, now do it. Or, hey, God is saying this in his word, and he's saying it because he loves you and he knows your life will be better if you do this. Totally different attitude. And then we let the Holy Spirit work that out in their hearts and in their lives. The Judaizers were saying, you know, hey, if you're not circumcised, you're not a true Christian. You're not a person who really believes in Jesus because you're not circumcised. And Jesus is our only hope. No one else. Jesus is our only hope. And it's not Jesus and, but it's Jesus only. Jesus only. And any other narrative about coming to Jesus is worthless if we say Jesus and. Jesus and our church. Jesus and, you know, you can add whatever. And so we need to make sure that we're not one of those religious dogs running around. Paul points out in verse 3 here that Jesus' people are actually filled with humility. He says, "For it is we who are the circumcision, who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh." If we're going to boast, we're going to boast about Christ Jesus. We're not going to boast about ourselves. We're not going to say, "Look what I've done." We're going to say, "Look what Jesus has done." We as Christ followers don't deserve God's love, but we're grateful for it. Mm-hmm. We're thankful that he has given us. We boast about what Jesus has done for us. Going back to that song, "Only Jesus can save me. Only Jesus can change me. Only Jesus can take me from lost to found." And we have a testimony because we have passed the test of a right relationship with God through Jesus. And that's the only reason why we can boast, is because we have that right relationship with God. Paul also pointed out that we're able to live a life of joy. He says we don't put any confidence in the flesh. Our joy comes not from what we do, but our joy comes from whose we are. Mm-hmm. We belong to Jesus, and that's where our joy comes from. Now, because we belong to Jesus, we do things that he asks us to, and that does bring joy into our life, but that's not the sole basis for our joy, because when we see great things happen, we have joy, but and things aren't quite going our way, if we're basing it only on that, we're going, "Man, my joy just went out the window. My joy just divorced me and left," so to speak. Our joy comes from whose we are, belonging to him. And when Jesus is our reason for living, then we're able to have joy in every season. When we're up, when we're down, as far as what life is giving us, that joy continues. There's joy in the Lord. There's joy in the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. There's joy in the Lord is a chorus of a song that we sing quite often. In fact, the title of the song is "There's Joy in the Lord." We live a life of joy, and we can have joy no matter what's going on. In our lives. Little aside here, one of the songwriters in the Church of God, in the early days of the Church of God, he was at a camp meeting. He was helping to put up a tent in a camp meeting. And he was injured by the falling of a tent pole. And basically, he became an invalid and was in bed the rest of his life. And yet, he wrote countless numbers of songs from his bed, and there were songs of joy. You know, he understood that his joy was in Jesus, not in his situation. Paul goes on in verses 4 through 8, and he says that religion basically is rubbish. He says, though I myself have reasons for confidence, if someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, of Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church, as for the righteousness, is based on the law. And I was faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I consider it a loss for the sake of Christ. What's more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider it all garbage, everything. Paul has this impressive resume. If you wanted a model example of a Jew in that day and time, and somebody says, show me a model Jew, you would have pointed to Paul. He was a model Jew. He attempted to prove his worth by what he did, persecuting the early church. He thought he was doing the right thing. He thought he was serving God while he was attacking God. And Paul says, I got my mind changed a little bit when I was on that road to Damascus and that light struck me down and Jesus talked to me and told me, hey, Paul, you got it wrong here. He says, I got my mind changed. Paul's saying here, knowing Christ is better than anything that my resume may say about me. As a matter of fact, he says, my resume is basically garbage. It's worthless. Tear it up. Run it through the shredder because it doesn't mean anything. The only thing that matters is Jesus. And what you lose by becoming a Christ follower, you gain in joy. Mm-hmm. What was a value before becomes worthless. If your value was in your job, you realize your job's important, but as far as in the overall scheme of things in eternity, it's worthless. The only value it has now is helping you to live and giving you an opportunity to work, witness at your work, but it's helping you to live and to have your financial means to support God and his work. Most importantly, your job helps you to do ministry. Your family is important to you, and the Bible puts high value on family, but you look at your family in a whole different light. You look at them as a gift from God versus as, man, I saw that beautiful woman or I saw this handsome guy and I'm just so lucky to have him. Well, yeah, you're lucky, but more importantly, you're blessed, you know. And so you look at your family in a totally different way. You look at your house and you say, I'm blessed to have this house or my apartment. I'm blessed to have this apartment because it enables me to have a place to eat, enables me to have a place to invite friends over to share God's love with them. It enables me a place where I can just come home and spend some time with God. Mm-hmm. You know, your church becomes valuable for you. Maybe you've never been to church before, and it becomes a place where you can connect with God and help other people help you connect with God. So what you lose by becoming a Christ follower, you gain in the joy that you have in being a follower of Christ Jesus. And what you find in Jesus is really priceless. Mm-hmm. You can't put a value on it. I mean, how do you put value on a price tag on eternal life? How do you put a price tag on joy? How can you put a price tag on being able to go through the difficult times of life and still say life has meaning, and I can, even in the difficult times, I can one find joy, but I can also help others even in the midst of my struggle. You can't put a price tag on those things. And that's what Paul's saying here. Religion's rubbish because it wants to put a price tag on it. You'll get this or a reward on it. You'll get this if you do this. being a Christ follower says, you're going to have these blessings because you follow Christ. And you're going to have joy because you follow Christ. Religion says, if you don't do this, then you're going to be down in the dumps. When you're a Christ follower, as you follow him and you do certain things, it's going to bring joy. Mm-hmm. Totally different outlook, a totally different means. So those are some things we need to consider in our hearts and in our lives. And if we have any requests, it's probably a good time to take a break right at the moment.
I've got a couple here. Bella Calise is scheduled for surgery to remove a non-cancerous cyst September 13th, unless they have a cancellation. She's praying that she can get in earlier than that. And then my oldest daughter, Michaela, needs some doors to open so she can find a job.
Ooh, okay. Father, we want to lift up these needs before you. You already are aware of them. We know that you're totally aware of what's going on, but you have called your people to pray, to lift up the needs and to bring them before you in faith, because we know that as we pray, you hear and that you meet the needs. And so we're praying for Bella as she's scheduled to remove this cyst coming up in September. But Lord, we also know that it's apparently a cyst that's bothering her. It's something that has her concerned. And so we're praying that you would just open the doors for that to be able to be happen sooner, so that she might be able to get on with her life and to live the life you're calling her to. Lord, if it is September, then Lord, we just pray that that will go well. But whatever time frame it is, Lord, we leave that into your hands, and we're praying that the surgery will go well. There will be no complications from that. She'll recover quickly and be able to continue on with her life, and be serving you without that being a concern in her life. And then we want to lift up Michaela as she is needing a job. We pray that you'll open the doors for her to be able to have the job that she needs, have the income that she needs. We pray that you will just open that door, that it'll be an open door that she can walk through. Yes, Lord, we know that you oftentimes say, yeah, we have to get out and we have to put applications out. We have to do all this. But Lord, whatever needs to happen, open that door for her to walk through. As she goes out and places applications, lead her to the places that she needs to place the application to. May she put those things on the application that are meaningful for that employer, that she's able to do competently or is willing to learn to do. And may you answer that need in a way, Lord, that will provide for her and to meet all of her needs. We know there's other needs out there, needs for work, needs for healing, needs for family. Lord, we leave those into your hands as well. And we ask your blessings upon whatever is upon the hearts and minds of those who are with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Facebook sponsor for today is the Refuge Church, located at New Liberty Church at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sarah, Oklahoma, with Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. They have Sunday school at 10, Sunday worship at 10:45, Sunday evening prayer at 5, and Bible study at 6. And they have Wednesday Bible study at 7 and Wednesday youth group at the same time. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. When you are confronted with difficult situations, it's not the reply of the tongue that matters. It's the response of the heart. That is where the real you lives. If you use words to deal with life, they will only be as valuable as the words. If you put your heart into it, the value is multiplied. Always be ready to provide an answer, and if necessary, use words.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy, and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford, Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier. We hope to.
All right, there we are. Elk City Church of God, and we're located at 501 West 1st, just up the street from where we're at right now. And if you're wondering how to find us, if you go to Homeland on 3rd Street, and the west side of Homeland on 3rd Street, and you turn north on Walker, you go 2 blocks, and you'll find us right there on the corner. If familiar with Elk City, in the old school buildings, we're right down the street from Longfellow. School building there, the old school building that a lot of people in Elk City went to school at. So we welcome you there. Services are Sunday schools at 9:45, worship's at 10:45. We'll be doing some small groups this fall. Be also looking at starting back up probably a noon meeting during the week as school gets into session. So we'd love to have you come join us and just visit with us. And, you know, I've had people come to me and say, well, we're looking for a church. And I say, well, tell me a little bit about yourself. And I always welcome them to our church. But I also tell them, you know, everybody has their style of worship. Everybody. And so you're not going to offend me if you come and you don't stay. I want you to go where God puts you. And if God places you with us, we will be glad to have you. But if not, I want to encourage you to go where God has placed you, because that's the most important thing. Go where God has placed you. All right.